First Samuel chapter 18. First Samuel chapter 18. I was just going to read. I was going to shine some honor spotlight, which I am going to shine some honor spotlight on verses 10 and through 12. But I want to give you the whole context of the picture of why I'm focusing on 10 and 12. I don't want to just read 10 and 12 and give you the dot. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Lord of God, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Father God, we thank you. You're just so good to us. We just thank you once again. Once again and another time that we stand behind this roster. Father God, to expound upon your word, teach your word. We ask you, allow your Holy Spirit to come on in and exhibit his perfect teaching and preaching ministry right now in the name of Jesus. We are unable to do it by ourselves, so we ask you to just draw back the drapes of misunderstanding. Make your word plain enough so that a child can understand it. Anoint our minds afresh. Come against Satan right now as he tries to snatch the word of knowledge away from your people. Allow this word, oh Father God, as we always ask you, allow this word to be a rhema word, tailor-made, fit for the circumstance of our situation. Father God, you know what we need, you know when we need it. Yes. You know each and every one of us. We are designers original. Yes. Father God, I don't know what they need, but Father God, you said your word would not return unto you void. Once you send it out, it will accomplish that which you have sent it out to do.
Glory.
So let it go forth with power, with might now. Rebuke, strengthen, and encourage right now. And Father God, if we're down, Father God, rebuke the spirit of depression right now.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. Restore us the joy of our salvation right now. In the name of Jesus. Let help us to look beyond the break, oh Father God. Call the things that are not as if they are right now. And Father God, allow me to preach, oh Father God, until heaven gets happy and hell gets upset. Father God, have your way in this place. Use your servant right now. Pour to me, oh Father God, so I can pour out on them. Right now, in the name of Jesus. And all who love the Lord say, amen.
Amen.
1 Samuel chapter 18, beginning at the first verse. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. There's never two love like the love between two men between Jonathan and David. And not the twisted one that y'all might go across your mind.
Amen.
Don't even let nobody try to use this love here for that.
All right. Now.
This is a, watch this. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. When God bless you, don't get crazy.
All right.
Act right. And Saul sent him over the men of war, over the army. This is the shepherd now, been made Lord of the host. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass, as they came, watch y'all, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul. See, King Saul was awesome now, y'all. Awesome warrior, awesome king. But watch this now. They came to meet King Saul with the tambourines, with joy and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, listen, y'all, Saul has slain his thousands. And David, his 10,000. And Saul was very wroth. He was mad. And the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000. And to me, they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom?
All right.
What else they going to impeach me and make him the king?
Yeah.
Here's my sermonic focus.
Yes, sir.
And it came, and saw I David, verse 9, uh-huh, from that day and forth. That means he was jealous. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God, watch this, came upon Saul. No, God didn't send no evil spirit to Saul. God backed up and let the devil have his way.
All right.
Y'all got that. Understand that clearly.
Got it.
And he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times. He was a warrior, he was a soldier, but he was also a chief musician. He was a praise worshiper. Mm-hmm. And there was a javelin in Saul's hand, a spear. And Saul cast the javelin. Y'all know what a javelin is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all see this when they throw in the Olympics and it's a long thing, and they throw it. It's heavy.
Oh, yeah.
For he said, I will smite David, even to the wall with it. I'll throw it and make it stick into the wall. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Therefore, Saul removed him from him and made him his captor over a thousand. And he went out and came in before the people. And watch this now. Saul did all of that, right, y'all?
Yes.
Tried to kill him, demoted him a little bit, and David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. And the Lord was with him. He didn't change the way he acted. When something for you is for you.
Yes, sir.
You don't got to act no kind of way. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. Verse 15, wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him.
Yes.
But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. He was under attack. He ready to do what the prophet Samuel did at his daddy's house. He already knew about that. He knew he was going to be king. He could have gotten Saul and said, you're trying to kill me, I'm going to be king, I'm about to take your throne. Were you acting like that? He said nothing. He tried to kill him. David continued to play his harp.
Yes.
He didn't say he stopped playing the music. He continued to function.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all with me?
Yes, yes.
I'm just going to put a tag on this text. I'm just going to call it just like this. The cost of favor.
All right.
You may take your seats in the presence of the Lord. The cost of favor.
Amen.
The cost of favor. Amen. Good to see y'all, my brother. I'm in 1 Samuel. Chapter 18, verses 10 through 12. 1 Samuel, chapter 18, verses 1 through 12. I read a little bit more. All right. This contention between David and Saul should not surprise us. Because I will submit to you, y'all. Whenever God has his hand on your life, it is not something that you can hide forever.
Mm.
Everybody knows it, and not everybody will like what they know. Look at the text. That's why I backed that text up for you to the first verse. Jonathan was Saul's son. He rightfully had a right to the throne. If his daddy was killed or his daddy left, the throne belonged to Jonathan. Y'all got me? Jonathan, not his daddy. Jonathan submitted to David,
yes,
took his robe off, his sword. He said, I'm giving it to you. It's you. Because I love you like I love myself. Jonathan said that. It blessed me to submit to the rest of Israel, let them know. Israel had no contention now. Nobody else should have had anything. Anyone should have had a contention, it should have been Jonathan.
Yeah.
I don't know why Saul was tripping. We will find out. Because Saul, no one can remove Saul from the throne.
Right.
He was going to serve his time. Why was he acting up like this? First of all, when you're in position and God puts you in position, do what you're supposed to do.
Uh-huh.
Don't get it twisted with God.
That's right.
If he was doing what he's supposed to do, he would not have been threatened.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
If God sent another minister in New Jerusalem, God bless him. Uh-huh. Is pastor going to get threatened? No, be glad to have some help up in here.
Amen.
Yes.
Because God called me to be pastor, not the minister.
Amen.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
But watch this.
Uh-huh.
Watch the cost of favor. Everybody knows it. You can't keep it hidden. Listen to this. The Bible tells us that Moses' mother, watch this, put him in a basket. And hid him until he could be hid no longer.
Yes.
Some stuff can't be hidden.
Mm-hmm.
You can be as humble as you want to be. If God got his hand on you, he got his hand on you.
Right.
Because when God has his hand on your life, there comes a moment when it can no longer be hidden. That you're not like everybody else.
That's right.
No matter how you try to fit in, God has assigned you to break the rules.
Right.
And be different. I don't need no crazy stuff. Go against the grain.
Yes, yes.
This is the truth. Even the enemies of a blessed man and woman knows that you are born to be special.
Amen.
This was David's dilemma. He was anointed to be the king of Israel. Yet, there was somebody else sitting on the throne. Y'all walk with me?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Saul had the position. But David had the power of God.
All right.
Yes.
I want to submit to you that position and power are not the same thing.
All right.
There will be somebody in your life who has your position.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Did I say that?
Uh-huh.
That's someone who got your job. The question is, what will happen to your future is not determined by who has the position.
Yes.
But it's determined by who has the hand of God on their life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to let you know that it's not the crown that makes you the king. Your greatness is not determined by what throne you're sitting on. You can't be regal in the kingdom of God until you learn how to be king or queen while you have nothing to show for it.
All right.
Act like you're supposed to act. Walk like you're supposed to walk. Don't be acting all crazy and you talking you're supposed to be in charge. No, act like you're in charge.
Yes.
Conduct yourself according to how God wants you to conduct yourself. You don't become great when people start applauding you.
That's right.
You become great when you are sitting in a one-bedroom apartment with no food on your plate and no water in your cup. You ain't got no car, got to drive the bus to church. Or should I say ride? Or nowadays it's Uber. Uber yourself to church. Stop making excuses why you can't go to church. But you believe now, even all that you got going on, you believe that God is about to do something great in your life. No, you don't have no house. You ain't got no house. No car. Some of us ain't got no 401k.
Yes. Amen.
Matter of fact, you don't know if you're going or coming.
My God.
But guess what, y'all? I got a feeling.
Well,
that God is going to do something great in my life. I got a feeling down in the city of my soul, y'all. That he has begun a great work in me. And he is able to complete it until the day of Christ. I got a feeling, y'all. I got a feeling. I don't know. I don't have any evidence to show for it.
Yes.
But I just have a feeling that God is getting ready to do something.
Yes.
I'm just that crazy.
Amen.
That's right. Can I make a point for y'all? If the rest of y'all didn't show up here today,
well,
and I walked out of office, and just me and Deacon Bailey and Sister Bailey was here,
yeah.
I'm just picking on them, because they're always here. Pastor would come out, sit down, we would sing a song, Deacon Bailey would pray, and I'd get up and still preach like I got church food. It's not about how good it is, it's about what I was called to do.
Amen.
Can you do what you called to do in spite of everything don't look like it should look? No, I'm not the y'all giving it. I don't have any evidence to show. I just got a feeling that God getting ready to reach into the darkness and shake up my life. And place my feet on solid ground while you do it.
Yes, yes, he will. Yes, he will. Thank you, Lord.
Great things don't begin with money. They begin with a feeling.
All right.
Amen.
You know what I
mean? Yes,
I'm telling you, if you follow the feeling, if you just follow the feeling, the money will chase after you. God has confirmed in your spirit that someday, in my spirit, that someone else may have the throne. But I got my hand on you, boy.
Yes, yes.
Sooner or later, I'm going to take you and make you and exalt you.
Amen.
And bless you.
Yes.
And resurrect you.
Hallelujah.
I don't care who does it like it.
Yes.
I do it because I'm God and I got it like that.
Yes, 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 yes.
I'm God and besides me, there's no other.
Yes.
I don't rule by committee.
Yes.
I rule by the power of my mouth.
Yes.
I don't need nobody to vote on what I'm getting ready to do or how I'm getting ready to do it. And that's right, I like to make it look like it never come to nothing.
Yes.
Before I operate, because I don't want you to think it's all about you.
Amen.
I don't think you have some skills. I don't want y'all to think that y'all sung so good.
Yes.
I don't want you to think you preach or pray so good.
Amen.
I just want you to know that when I get to do ready to do what I'm going to do, I want you to know that God did it.
Yeah, right.
And y'all gonna say, won't he do it?
Won't he do it? Yeah.
The Bible says that Saul was envious of David.
Yes.
It is strange to hear those words because Saul was a grown man.
Uh-huh.
And for any intents and purpose, David was just a kid.
Yes.
Why would a grown man be intimidated by a child?
Come on now.
Why would something so big be intimidated by somebody so small?
Well,
I want you to know, before Jonathan gave his robe, David is just super light.
Yes.
All right now.
Yes.
And you back that thing up.
Okay.
He had just took care of the lion and slew him.
Uh-huh.
When God starts blessing you, everybody starts taking notes.
That's right.
Even your enemy know that you may be small. But they know if they allow you to get big,
Come on now. You
will tear the kingdom down.
My God.
So why are you small?
Uh-huh.
You got to be faithful on a few things.
Yes.
Say it loud.
Praise the Lord.
I wish I had a witness to you.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. But listen to this. This is the irony of envy. Watch the irony of envy. While envy celebrates the gift that the person has and degrades the character of the holder of the gift, this is why the Bible says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house.
Yeah.
Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife.
Uh-huh.
Praise
the Lord. The Bible knows that to covet or envy is not right.
Right, right.
Why? Let me tell you why. It's a sin. Why are you coveting me because I can sing so good?
Uh-huh.
You disrespecting God who gave me the gift. He the one is the giver of the gift.
That's right.
So now you upsetting him because he gave me the gift. Not because I'm singing the gift.
Oh, yes. Man.
Y'all ain't feeling it.
Yes.
Be careful when you ought to be celebrating because I can sing.
Yes.
And when you celebrate because I can sing, you celebrate God who gave me the gift.
Yes.
Let's go, right.
Don't want to get on the wrong side of God. Matter of fact, let me take it back. Go ahead. I like my enemies. Get on the wrong side. Talk bad about me. Because guess what? Your hating become my elevator.
All right.
Come on, come on.
You speed up my elevator. Have you ever been on those elevators or some of these new high riders? Shoot, this elevator move fast. Some elevators take so long to get between floors. But some elevators just take you straight on up. That's what your hating does for us. Your hating speeds up a child of God.
My God.
I'm tired of waiting anyway. Speed me up.
No.
It is to say that what God gave you is not enough. If you don't get nothing else out of the message, y'all, check this out.
Uh-huh.
Get yourself to the place where you no longer look at people and want what they have.
Yes.
Don't want what nobody else has.
Yeah,
let me help you. If you had to bear what they have to bear, you would break under the weight of a struggle that was not yours to begin with.
Yes.
Don't look at my lawn because my lawn's so green.
Come on now.
Because you probably can't pay my water bill. My water bill probably bigger than yours. That's why my lawn's so green. You get mad because my lawn's so green and thick. Guess what? You ain't got no water bill and yours a little brown. Maybe that's the only water bill you can handle.
Yes.
Why you want to handle my water bill?
Yes.
Amen.
Hello, somebody.
Hello.
Come on.
You have to want what God has for you.
Amen.
And what God has for you is for you.
Amen.
You don't have to struggle. You don't have to fuss, fight to keep what God has for you.
Yes.
Amen.
Envy is an offense to God.
Wow.
Did I just say that?
Yes.
We don't have to beg, borrow, steal. Take what you have and work it.
Yes.
Did I just say that? Y'all forget I preached this
now.
If you work what you got.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes we just got to work what we got.
Yes. That's right.
Can I get a witness in here?
Yeah.
Y'all ain't getting me.
Yeah.
No, we don't have 50 choir members.
Uh-huh.
But guess what? When y'all open y'all mouth, it sounds like 50 of them.
So
work what you got.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen some of the big choirs? Have you ever watched them?
Yes.
50% of them ain't saying nothing.
That's right.
It look good up there, though.
Yeah.
Work what you got.
That's right.
Watch it. Take what you have and work it. God say, be faithful and work in what you got.
Uh-huh.
But he say, because if you work what you got, I'll step you up and you build your muscles to handle some more.
Yes, come on now. That's amen.
Amen.
He told me to tell you, be faithful a few things. And I'll make you a ruler over many.
Amen.
I'm not standing in front of you by acting this morning. Normally, the combination of a whole week, we got stuff that we all go through, y'all.
Yes, sir.
Stuff we wonder how we made it from Sunday to Sunday.
Yes,
once we look back.
Amen.
Can I get a witness?
Yes,
sir.
The devil be on the rampage. He mad just because you're trying to stay faithful.
Amen.
Yes.
Then every little error that we slip up in, because nobody here perfect.
Amen.
We never make it saved from Sunday. We leave church. We good and saved and all Holy Ghost filled. But the time we walk in the door, we start encountering stuff that make us want to put our religion down.
Yes.
Can I get a witness in here? Niggas want to think crazy stuff is talk y'all, step out of our character. Sometimes we hold it together and sometimes we don't hold it together. But thank God for His grace and His mercy.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
God told me to let y'all know I have my hands on y'all.
Yeah.
No devil, no demon, or demonic javelin thrower can touch, harm, judge, or evaluate you. Can I get a witness up in here? Because you got favor. But I want you to know there's a cost to favor. Say, everybody not going to like it because you got favor on your life. And can I get a witness if there's a saying that said that favor ain't fair? Can I get a witness there? Can Pastor put his own legend twist on the thing? Favor is fair. Because you don't know what I had to go through last night to look here and stand up here and look like I got a whole lot of favor. Can I get a witness in here? I didn't walk the corners of your sorrow and your pain. You know why God got his hand on you. But guess what? I'm getting just what I'm supposed to get. You get what you're supposed to get. You don't have to explain it to nobody. You don't have to justify. Just walk in your favor. Circumstances and situations, schemes and traps. Doesn't matter what you got to go through. God said, I got my hand on you. God said, I want you to know that you are under attack, not by coincidence. You're under attack just not by mistake. But there's a cost for your favor.
Hallelujah.
But again, I put some insurances in place. Can I get a witness in here? I gave you an insurance package. Can I get with this here? Now, don't pay no attention to me. I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness, saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. I'm just your messenger. But let me sell you this insurance package today. The insurance package comes with some benefits. And you don't have to sign the form, you don't have to pay for them. Because the Bible tells you that Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. He paid it a long time ago on Calvary. But let me share some of the benefits. God told me to tell you that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Nothing formed against you shall prosper. He said, all things will work together for your good. He said, you don't have to watch your back because the battle is not yours. It belongs to the Lord. Working, keep doing what I call you to do, because some challenges will go your way. Now, you remember, you see that the scripture says that David avoided the javelin. It didn't say he looked up, took a dodge to the right or dodge to the left. He kept playing the harp and told me that you got a comforter, a protector called the Holy Ghost standing by your side. And all you got to do is keep your work head. Can I get a witness up in here? Keep your mind. Keep working. The cost of favor. God's not worried about things again for you. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to. Don't stress it. He said, God said, I got you. God said, I wrote the vision a long time ago. He said, a long time ago, before you were formed in the belly, knew you were strong. I knew you.
Yes.
On a day you and I ordained you to be a prophet. That means I put a work in your hand.
Yes.
So you need to stay faithful.
Yes.
Look beyond the break.
Yes.
God said, I'm working it out for your good.
Yes.
See, are you going to keep praying?
Yes.
Or are you going to give up praying?
Yes.
God says, the devil wants to make you stop talking to me.
Yes.
Yes. I'm a witness here. I'm a living witness. You don't always feel like praying, y'all.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Just hang on just a little while longer. Just a little while longer. Amen?
Amen.
The cost of favor.
Thank you.
I say that Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sin. Stand to your seat.